Our lesson tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, the superiority of Christ our high priest to the Aaronic priests. We live in an era of great need for an encouraging word amid man's discouraging spiritual failure. So a word from God on the infinite supremacy and the sufficiency of his Son, Jesus Christ, is both desirable and fitting. It's interesting, as I read this, I got an email this afternoon from a Christian who was struggling with a lot of the wickedness that this Christian was seeing going on in the world. And the person was wondering, how in the world am I supposed to deal with this, pastor? And I said, well, we have to trust the sovereignty and the supremacy of the Lord. So this sentence that I just read had tremendous impact in regards to this particular believer, and I was able to share a message back with him. But the Epistle of Hebrews offers it. And Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 28 clarifies the superiority of Christ, our high priest, himself, to the Aaronic priests. So we view the passage for our insight and our application and edification. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. And they, speaking of the Aaronic priests, truly were many priests, because they were not suffered or allowed to continue by reason of death. But this man, that's Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or save them completely, that come unto God by him, seeing that he always lives to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is both holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. And the word once there is epapax, which means once for all. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law or after the law, makes the Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is consecrated forevermore. Okay, in contrast to the Aaronic priests, Christ's high priestly ministry saves completely. Boy, do we need this type of message today. In the Aaronic priesthood, there had to be a long line of priests to serve the needs of God's people, because in those priests, they were mortal, and they would die because of sin. However, Christ continues forever in his sinless resurrection life, a high priest with an unchangeable priesthood. It's a wonderful thing. We've been through generations, many generations of Christians going back to the apostles, and many generations have lived and died, and we have Christians all the time that are passing away, people coming to know Christ, but we have our Savior in heaven. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he abides continually, and there's tremendous stability in that priesthood. Because Christ's priesthood is unchangeable, he can bring his saving ministry as a priest to completion, to save completely, in contrast to the ministry of any Aaronic priest. See, the other priests, they could only do something. In fact, a priest could actually die while he was on duty. You know, he could die of a heart attack, or just that's it, and something can happen, and then he dies. And so they have to pull him out, they have to sanctify the tabernacle, the temple all over again, and start over. But not Jesus, he doesn't die. Now the Greek word rendered to the uttermost, panteles, can either mean forever for all time, or completely, fully, and wholly. And since the author of Hebrews already stated that Christ's priesthood is unchangeable due to his endless resurrection life, to avoid making the author appear to be redundant or needlessly repetitive, we hold the panteles here means completely, that Christ's unchangeable priesthood equips him to save us believers completely. Incidentally, that's how the New International Version interprets that word as well. Well, in contrast to the Aaronic priests who could not always minister, Christ always ministers. This is a wonderful thing. You can be awake, and you suddenly waken up, let's say, 3:30 in the morning, and there's a burden on your heart, and maybe it's a burden of sin. Maybe it's a burden about your weakness, and you need to go to the Lord about it. Well, in the Old Testament, the priest was asleep. He had to wait until the morning, until they opened up the temple or the tabernacle and go in. But right there where you are, you're lying in bed and you're awake and you're burdened about this, you can pray. And the high priest is on duty. He's right there. The Lord Jesus answers. The Aaronic priests at times were unholy, they were guilty, they were stained, they were polluted by their relationships with other sinners, and that left them at times unable to minister acceptably before God for his people. That's another reason. These men were sinners, and so they could not always themselves interact for others. They had to go through the sacrificial system and take care of their own sins first. However, Jesus Christ is always holy. He's always separate from sin. He's always innocent. He's always unstained. He's always separate from sinners. And incidentally, he's always awake. Okay? God never slumbers nor sleeps. So he's always able to be effective in his ministry on our behalf as believers. I would say some of the biggest events in my life, my Christian life, have occurred in the middle of the night when the Lord's worked in my heart. And so I know my ministry, I was called to the ministry just after I went to bed. It was about 8:39 o'clock at night. And the Lord woke me up. Insight into Revelation 3:18 came in the middle of the night, like 2 o'clock in the morning. So many times the Lord has used the middle of the night. But our Savior is always there. He's always available, which is a wonderful thing. Now, in contrast to the Aaronic priests who were limited in exaltation to this earth as mere priests, Christ is exalted above the heavens because he's enthroned as a king and a priest at God the Father's right hand. We know that from Psalm 110, verse 1, verse 4. It says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, you sit on my right hand until I make an enemy, your enemies, a footstool for your feet." And so Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We know that from Hebrews chapter 1. And because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, he's far above all names. He's far above all demonic powers and so forth. You've got priests who are on the earth here today. They're not above demonic powers. They're weaker than Satan. They're weaker than a lot of the powerful demons that exist in the world. Jesus isn't. He's sitting at the right hand. In fact, the Father has turned over the running of the entire universe to the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it. Everybody here who has a heartbeat, okay, we're all alive, we all have a heartbeat. That heartbeat is right now in the hand of Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's sitting on the throne. So he is exalted above everything. So he's above the heavens. He's enthroned as a king and a priest at the Father's right hand. There's no other priest like that. Then in contrast to the Aaronic high priests who needed daily to offer sacrifices first for their own sins and then for the sins of the people, Jesus did this once. He didn't have to offer sacrifices all the time. Epax. Actually, the word apax or hapax is the word for once for all, but epapax actually strengthens the word. Once for all, when he offered up himself as sinless sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. That word, incidentally, appears a number of times in the book of Hebrews to speak about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That's a wonderful truth. Every communion Sunday we mention the difference between what we believe here and what a lot of churches believe, and transubstantiation and consubstantiation, where they believe, or even receptionism, where they believe Christ in some way is being offered up. No, he was offered up once, and it was sufficient. It satisfied the wrath of God. And then in contrast to the Aaronic priests who were appointed to their offices and their sinful weaknesses, beginning in the directives of the Mosaic law, the Psalm 110 verse 4 word of the living divine oath that came later than the law appointed the Son of God an everlasting priest, and he has been made perfect forever. Now keep in mind the word Son, huios, that is used here makes Jesus equal with the Father. The word huios was used only of a son that had gone through his bar mitzvah. And when a son in Jewish culture went through his bar mitzvah, he was viewed as equal with the Father. In fact, if you did not treat him as an equal of the Father, you came under the wrath of his Father. And this is not the word paideia, which means a pre-bar mitzvah. This is post-bar mitzvah, son. So he's a son of God. And we also keep in mind in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. That means that Jesus called into existence everything that exists. This is very important because the Mormons believe that Jesus is God. They'll say that he's the Son of God, but they'll tell you that there was a time when he was not in existence, that he was called into existence by God the Father. We don't believe that. We believe in the eternal sonship. Jesus is eternally God because all things are made by him, John 1:3 says, and without him was not anything made that was made. You can't make yourself, okay? You have to be created by something else, another entity. But Jesus created all things that were created, which means he was never created. So the Mormons actually hold to what they call the ancient Arian heresy, where they believe that there was a time when the Son did not exist and then he came into existence. That's ancient Arianism. So the lesson is, where the Aaronic priests could not completely save since they were mortal and would die before completing the ministry of God's people needed, Christ is eternal in his resurrection life and can bring his saving work as high priest to completion for God's people. Where the Aaronic priests could not always minister due to personal unholiness, guilt, stain, and pollution in relationship with other sinners, Jesus Christ is always holy, always innocent, always unstained, always separate from sinners, and incidentally, always awake, and thus always able to be effective in his ministry. Where the Aaronic priests were limited in exaltation as mere priests, Christ is exalted above the heavens as King Priest at the Father's right hand. Where the Aaronic priests needed to offer sacrifices daily for their own sins besides the sins of the people, Christ, in offering himself as the perfect, complete sacrifice, offered himself once for all. And where the Aaronic priests were appointed by their offices by Moses under the law, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was appointed by God the Father's divine oath, so Christ is perfected forever as our high priest. So an application: though the Roman Catholic Church has many priests in an earthly priesthood like the Aaronic priesthood, who are sinners marked by sinful infirmity, and who repeatedly offer up the alleged sacrifice of Christ in the Mass, this is according to Dr. Lorraine Botner's book, Roman Catholicism, Christ's true high priestly ministry presents the perfect high priest in Christ, who without sin offered up himself as the perfect sacrifice once for all to the complete satisfaction of God the Father. So the Roman Catholic priesthood is not only erroneous, but infinitely inferior to Christ's priestly ministry. And also, the Mormons hold to two priesthoods. They hold to an Aaronic priesthood and a higher priesthood called the Melchizedekan priesthood. And they're trying to copy the New Testament. Unfortunately, their view of Jesus Christ is defective. They believe that that Jesus was not eternally God. So they don't have a proper view of Christ. Jesus Christ, as he's presented in the book of Hebrews, is the creator of everything. And so he's the eternal God. And since he is the eternal God, his priesthood is far superior to what even the Mormon Church would offer. So this is a wonderful thing. We have a supreme high priest who is absolutely, he's not only all-sufficient, he's infinitely all-sufficient because he's God. He's the eternal God. So may we go to Christ at all times, fully confident of his capacity to serve our every need. I'm reminded of that passage in the book of James. Ye have not because ye ask not. That's something. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ask that ye may receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to pray. We have a wonderful Savior. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's waiting for those prayers. And he wants us to achieve so much by praying. So may we pray to him in prayer, because we have a completely all-sufficient, completely capable Savior who is able to help.